Charlie Cook is editor and publisher of the Cook Political Report. He keeps tabs on the presidential race as well as Senate, House, and gubernatorial contests. He joins us from member station WUOT in Knoxville, Tennessee. Charlie, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Linda.
So, okay, here we are. We are 3 weeks out. Do you feel a change of direction in this campaign?
This is the first time all year where I haven't really had any idea at all who was going to win this thing. You know, 3 weeks ago, I would have said President Bush by a little bit of edge. 9 weeks ago, I would have said Kerry a little bit up. Right now, I don't know.
Well, we've begun to hear some new speeches, new themes. President Bush is concentrating more on Mr. Kerry as a big government Massachusetts liberal. Mr. Kerry is saying to voters that the president can spin until he's dizzy, but who are the American people going to believe, George Bush or their own eyes? Are we getting a preview of what's coming in the last few weeks?
I do. I mean, I think the mistake that people do is they look for the one poll that tells them most what they want to see happen, when we really ought to look at an average of the polls, and you ought to look at the president's number, his percentage. And right now he's averaging around 47-48%, which is just right at the edge of the blade. And it can fall either way, but I think we're at the point where the president's going to have to step up the attack.
But Charlie, what more can the president do in the way of attacking? I mean, he spent the first, say, 2 months, I mean, starting from before the Republican convention, at the beginning of the summer, with very strong attacks against Senator Kerry. This is where it's got him. I mean, is attacking still the way to go? Does he attack on a different ground? What does he do?
Well, I mean, the thing is, at this point, people know a lot about the president's record. They know what they agree with. They know what they disagree with. There's not a lot that President Bush can tell them that's going to change their perception of him. So all he can do is try to get them to change their impression or reinforce negative impressions of John Kerry. And the danger is that he's going to be stepping down from the pedestal of the presidency to do this, to try to rough Kerry up. But I don't know that he has a lot of choice.
So let's talk about the undecided voters. Do you think there are really undecided voters? I mean, this has been the longest campaign we have ever had. When you do your polling and talk to groups of voters, do you have any kind of insight into the mind of the undecided voter?
I don't do polls myself anymore, but when I look at the polls, I find two different kinds of undecided voters. They're what I call the knucklehead voters. They don't know or care anything about politics, but once every 4 years they show up and vote. The second group that's a lot more interesting are people that normally vote either Republican or Democrat, but where there's some specific issue that sticks in their craw. Maybe you're a Republican, but you really don't like the war in Iraq. Or maybe you're a Democrat, you know, you're an anesthesiologist and don't like the idea of a trial lawyer who specialized in medical malpractice cases as vice president. But one thing we know from history, and whether you're talking about House races or Senate or governor's races, presidential, undecided voters always break towards the challenger. Two-thirds, three-quarters, some people say as high as 85%. The president really needs to be at about 49%, 50%. But if he's at, say, 47.5, you know, scratching on 48%, which is where he is right now, wow, that's a scary place to be, given the propensity of undecided voters to break against the incumbent.
Well, let's talk for a minute about some of the other races. The drama of the presidential race has pretty much obscured the 34 Senate seats that are up for grabs. Do you think there's a chance that the Senate might change hands in November, go from a Republican majority to a Democratic majority?
There's a chance, but probably only about 25-30%. You've got 8 really hot races out there. Democrats would need to win 6 out of the 8 and the presidency so that the vice president could break the tie. That's a pretty tall order. It's possible, but it's hard to get something like that done.
Voters like to say that they prefer it when neither party controls both the White House and the Congress. I mean, that's the sort of historic preference
right.
of the American people. But hasn't the Congress been gerrymandered to such a point that that isn't really a factor anymore, or is it a factor?
Well, I think people do prefer divided government because they don't totally trust either party. But what gerrymandering has done is locked in, you know, 200 and so seats that are absolutely going to go Republican no matter what, and 200 and some seats that are absolutely going to go Democratic no matter what, and only about three dozen seats that are truly competitive. And so it robs the choice of for most Americans. But secondly, because the Democratic seats are so Democratic, therefore so liberal, and the Republican seats are so Republican, conservative, it basically wipes out the chances for moderates to get elected, liberal to moderate Republicans, conservative moderate Democrats. So the middle is almost wiped out of Congress, and that's what's helped make it a dysfunctional institution it is today.
Charlie, I noticed that you said gerrymandering because it's named after a Massachusetts politician whose name was Gary.
Some people pronounce it one way, some the other. Most people say gerrymandering. I don't know what's technically right.
You're a political purist, Charlie Cook.
Or a geek.
Thanks very much. Charlie Cook is editor and publisher of the Cook Political Report. Charlie, thank you.
Thank you.
Join pollster Andy Kohut for a live online chat about political polls next Wednesday at noon Eastern. For more information or to ask a question, go to npr.org.